Welcome to Product Voices, a podcast where we share valuable insights and useful resources to help us all be great in product management. Visit the show's website to access the resources discussed on the show, find more information on our fabulous guests, or to submit your product management question to be answered on our special Q&A episodes. That's all at productvoices.com. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. Now, here's our host, J.J. Rory, CEO of Great Product Management.
Hello, and welcome to Product Voices. We've got another great episode for you talking all about product strategy and digging in a little bit about what that means and why it's important and how to do it and, you know, some of the other nuances that come along with product strategy. So very important topic, something that is covered from time to time, but also never really hits the mark. There are so many times when I am meeting with a client or working with a product team and, you know, product strategy is just one of those things that, yes, we all think we know it. We know what it means, but we all have a little bit different perception of it, and it's not that easy to really do well. And so we're going to dig into product strategy and what that looks like. And again, just how we can continuously improve ourselves on building, creating, and executing product strategies. And I'm so excited to have my guest with me today. Gayatri Dewan is a seasoned product leader. She's got over 12 years of diverse product management experiences at Expedia, Amazon, Deloitte Consulting. She spearheaded the vision and product strategy across multiple B2B, B2C, and AIML product portfolios while leading teams to build best-in-class products. She's a real expert. I am so excited to have her. She's been, not only at these awesome companies, but she's a product advisor to startups. She mentors folks across the product community. She really gives back to the PM community. And for that, I'm grateful. And I've loved getting to know Gayatri. Also, by the way, you can always reach out to her on LinkedIn, and those links will be on the show notes, because she is a true expert and will give you great advice and mentoring and loves to talk product. So with all of that, Gayatri, thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Thanks, JJ, for the lovely introduction. You're too kind. To me, product strategy is such a critical element and backbone in the product management world. So super thrilled to be part of this conversation. And also, it's an honor to be part of Product Voices.
I'm so glad that we could make this happen. So let's just start with the basics before we kind of dive deep. What is a product strategy? Why is it important? Tell me kind of the basics of your philosophy on product strategies and why they're so important for product teams.
That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to flip your question on its head and take a minute to talk about what is not product strategy. Product strategy is not a product feature factory. It is not your vision. I see it as a connecting tissue between your product vision and your product roadmap. Now, product strategy cannot exist on its own, right, without a governing product vision. Now, for starters, let's talk about product vision first and then discuss what is product strategy and its importance. Now, in my opinion, product vision is something that should be aspirational, key differentiator, and what value your product brings to possibly millions of your customers. Vision should be something that is simple, not fluffy. Now, we may not know how to get to the vision, but product strategy will help us get there. So product strategy is, I feel, it's quite fundamental in a lot of organizations. And it is something that sets the foundation and overarching plan on how the company plans to achieve the vision. Simply put, you know, product strategy boils down to the three W's. A, why do we need this product? B, who are we building the product for? And C, what are we building and what are the outcomes we want to achieve? All in all, you know, product strategy really matters since it provides clarity to our business stakeholders to really understand the direction in which your product is headed and how it strives to achieve the right business outcomes that is aligned with your business strategy.
I love that. And I really, really, I agree with all of it. And I really love the kind of the three areas, right? It's the why, the who or the for whom, and the what. And you didn't say how, right? A product strategy doesn't get necessarily down to the minutia of we're going to do it exactly this way. But it's the why we're going to do something that's often forgotten, in my opinion, or at least communicating the why. The why is underlying to the who and the what, usually, but it's not as communicated as well, which I think is a really important point. So I love that. That's a really, really great primer for product strategy and philosophy on it. So let's dig a little bit now. So tell me, you know, in your experience, what are the steps or the thought processes that you go through when creating a product strategy?
Yeah. You know, JJ, I'm going to have to say this, you know, product strategy is, you know, more of an art than a science. That's the reality. And like it or not, I'm a firm believer of first principles and really going with the customer first mindset. With that said, I'm also a big advocate of Amazon's working backwards approach. And something that I use myself since my time there. There is a mental model that I usually follow while building a product strategy. And I believe it is useful no matter what level you are in your PM career. Now, it's a 7-step plan, and it's a beefy one, but important. So strap in. Step one, who is your customer? You know, obviously, it has to start with your customer. There is no product without the customer. So we really need to know who is your target user and for whom you're creating the product. Step two, what is the problem statement? What are we really solving for? You need to do your research, whether it's data, interviews, focus groups, do whatever you need to. But you really need to understand, what do your customers want? What are the jobs to be done? And is there a product market fit? It is very critical to understand that. Step three is, you know, what is the impact and the benefit to the customer? Now, I really cannot stress this enough, JJ, but we need to have a data-driven impact. You know, as they say, data helps win arguments. And in my honest opinion, I feel arguments are like opportunities to create a shared understanding of the problem and its benefits. Step four, it's a favorite of mine. What is the ideal state? And, you know, what does good look like? Now, for a user, what is the ideal experience for them when they're using your product? You'll be surprised, JJ, how many teams and even organizations miss this critical step. It can be as simple as just defining the ideal experience just at the back of the envelope, and it's done. But it is a critical step. Step five is, you know, what is the criteria for success, and, you know, how will we measure our success metrics? Now, the success metrics, obviously, right, will be driven by what outcomes your product strategy is trying to achieve. Step six, it's another favorite of mine, by the way. What are the core product tenets or principles? Now, as a product strategy leader, you know, you're almost like the captain of a ship that is trying to steer the ship to its ultimate destination. And the path to the destination can be full of, you know, turbulences. But I've realized over the years that these product principles really help you stay guided and grounded. Also, these product tenets will help you make some good product development decisions. It will help us make better trade-off decisions to break the tie or conflicts between products, especially when they are trying to compete for the same resources. And then step seven is, you know, what are our key pillars and themes that we really want to invest in? How do we want to differentiate from a competition with game changer capabilities? These are more of, you know, the product capabilities. And then you follow this up with a minimum lovable product. You know, how does it look like? And what's the roadmap? Now, this is not a secret recipe, JJ, but I think I've laid out the steps to help you uncover most of the blind spots. It's my TLDR version. And oh, by the way, I'm in the process of finishing a blog post on this framework, which I will share with you, JJ, and feel free to share it with your audience. But just two quick things I want to add here is this mental model may change a bit depending on the type of product you're dealing with, right? Is it a 0-1 product, an existing product, or a B2B or a B2C? And there are some nuances in there. And then lastly, above everything, you know, product strategy is a team sport and a continuous journey that needs to be evolved along its way. It's not something that's, you know, built once and just stored away.
I could not agree more with all of this. And I absolutely love number four, especially one of your favorites. I mean, all of these are so important, obviously. And I love the mental model. I love the framework. I think that the entire framework helps. As I was mentioning earlier, strategy is this, you know, big broad thing that everybody thinks they know, but do they really know? And do they really know how to do it? And so having a mental model like this, having a framework that just allows us to check the boxes, make sure we're doing it, make sure we're covering all the bases, is really, really important. So yes, absolutely. We'll share the blog post because I think it will help people. But back to number four, right? What is the ideal state? I agree with you. I think a lot of people forget that. And frankly, I hadn't even thought about it in that way. And I've done a lot of product strategies, but and I think all the others I covered in some way, but that one I really hadn't, you know, kind of pinpointed. And I think that's a great point about, you know, if we're building a strategy, we're trying to adhere to this vision. We're trying to do something amazing for the future. And without really showing that kind of ideal state of what that looks like, you know, you it probably lends itself to some of that confusion about what a strategy is and what we're supposed to be accomplishing. So I love that. That's a really, really great piece to that overall mental model. So definitely, I'm definitely going to start working on that as well. So I love it.
Appreciate that, JJ, you know, and like, as you mentioned too, right? Ideal experience. That is something really critical. We talk about, you know, product vision. What do we want the product to look like? But, you know, the whole ideal experience comes together when you are building the product strategy. And this is something that really needs to be considered. And a lot of organizations forget that. So something that I keep in mind, even as I'm building my product strategies today for my different products within different companies.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, that being one mistake that people make, right? And as we've discussed, you know, companies forget about trying to paint that picture of what that ideal should be or could be. So that being one mistake, what other mistakes do you see people and teams making? Or what pitfalls do you see that you know, are quite common that folks need to watch out for as they're building product strategies?
Yeah, mistakes, right? We all make mistakes and that's how we learn, you know?
Absolutely.
At least I know, I do. Based on some of my experiences, I can share some watchouts, JJ, that I pay extra attention to, you know, while developing a product strategy. It may not be a comprehensive list, but here are the four things that are on top of my mind. First is product market fit. Product market fit is very critical for your product. You know, without it, your product will not be successful. And it's advisable to go back to the drawing board when you don't get it right. There's no harm in, you know, restarting and going back to the drawing board and making sure you have the product market fit. Second, engaging the right people early and having a shared understanding of the problem. Now, I did mention, right, that product management and product strategy is a team sport. So we really need to involve the right people to ensure that we get a well-rounded perspective as you formulate the strategy. Of course, we need to align with our stakeholders and get their buy-in. That's given. Third is having the right processes mapped out for a successful pilot and a launch. Now, never launch product in silos without mapping the whole end-to-end workflow with product and processes in mind. We really need to identify, you know, where there are crossovers between product and process. And often this gets ignored since product and technology tends to get over-indexed on and we ignore the processes. And this is where, you know, things break and you don't have an end-to-end well-formulated strategy. And four, it's also, you know, one of my favorites and very controversial one too. Good strategy needs to be coupled with solid execution. If you have a good strategy, but poor execution, it's a disaster. But a mediocre strategy with solid execution is still better and it will help you survive. But regardless, you know, you need a great strategy and a solid team to build and execute the plan.
You know, strategy is just such a, to me, it's always been a lot of fun. I've always loved the strategic creation, you know, the, you know, strategy building process. And to me, it is so important to the business, obviously, that it's, you know, it's like the foundation of what you're going to be doing over the next year or two or three. And it's so much fun. And you really can't do it in a silo. I've tried that before I knew what I was doing. I tried to put a product strategy in place and, you know, hold myself up with some data for a few months and said, okay, you know, I emerged with this brilliant strategy. And guess what? It didn't work, right? Because nobody else was involved and nobody else gave their input. And of course, they're not going to buy into it. So, you know, it's just, it's so important that you've mentioned a couple of times just how cross-functional it is. And I love that advice and those pitfalls, because sometimes it's even, you know, just like having a mental model or a framework to look at and to at least refer to, just having an idea of what to watch out for is also very valuable. So I love what you shared there, and thanks for that advice.
Absolutely, JJ. You know, and I think the idea is also, you know, to bring everybody together along the journey. And that's, I know a lot of organizations have product reviews, you know, where you discuss your, you know, product strategy and product roadmap. And what are you planning to do for, say, next 18 months or, you know, few quarters down the line? But it's very important to bring your key players from different organizations, whether it's the operations, whether it's marketing, and not just the engineering and UX and your designers, maybe even legal team. Having their perspective and having their buy-in really helps formulate a good, solid, rounded product strategy. And you have already tried your best to, you know, watch out through the corners and try to take care of the most of the knowns.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you just get a better strategy at the end, to your point, right? You just flat out get a better strategy. And then, of course, to a point you made earlier, you have such a better chance of executing it if you do that. So I love that. So the next question I have for you is a bit of an interesting one. And I'm asking because I know how seasoned you are in AI and ML, and you've done a lot of strategy work there. And so, of course, it's the talk of the town, it's the talk of the day. Everybody wants to talk about AI. What's it going to do to product management? What's it going to do to everything, right? Well, what do you think? I mean, is product strategy going to change with, you know, AI and the wave of ChatGPT and generative AI? Is that only applicable for AI type products, or is that something that we got to look at across the board? What do you think?
Yeah. Now, with AI, I believe we are at a big paradigm shift in technology. AI has been around for quite a few years with, you know, computer visioning and the deep learning models. And generative AI has picked up recently, given its virality and, you know, more adoption, given its chat-friendly format. Now, each company, you know, tech or non-tech, is now thinking about their generative AI product strategy. So yes, it is an important area to have a point of view and see how AI can be relevant to your users. So think use cases of what your users want, and can AI enable them? Now, the basic foundation and mental model of, you know, product strategy of, you know, how you identify the user, the problem statement, and the three W's that we discussed earlier, that does not change. We still need it. AI will be used to generate efficiencies, but product will be needed to rally people together and still chart out the product development. A machine cannot do that for you. Now, I have led machine learning teams at Expedia to do personalization, enhanced imagery, text enhancements, recommendation systems, and we even did an early trial of GPT-3. The basics of PM stay the same, but the key understanding of the machine learning models, the domain, and the language of communication with the right prompts are the main differences. One needs to deepen their understanding of AI and ML models, you know, how these models are trained, you know, their accuracy, how precise they are. And at the same time, we need to ensure we're using these models responsibly. Now, we really need to be careful of data in and data out, since it is important that the input data is trustworthy and the output data, it's not hallucinating. So this is where it can get dangerous. So always verify the data. As they say in the Spidey world, with great power comes great responsibility. So use AI responsibly. I know I sound like a beer commercial here, but the key thing to note is that AI is a key enabler, and eventually there'll be an AI co-pilot for everything.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an interesting time, isn't it? I love it. So I love you taking the time to answer that from your perspective, because I knew you would have a good view of that. So I guess finally, but I do have a final. So I'm not going to let you go even after this. I'm going to do a fun little final thing after this. But my final real question for you is any other pieces of advice, you know, final words of wisdom that you would leave for product managers, product leaders out there who are, you know, building product strategies, whether it's their first time or not, you know, any kind of words of wisdom for them?
Yeah, I love mentoring and talking product in general. So, you know, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would say there are two pieces of advice that I would like to share to all the PMs. First is, I would encourage the PMs to build this product strategy muscle at every chance they get. Even if it's for a small product with a smaller user as outreach, just go for it. And then second is, have a growth and resilient mindset to go and try new things. Fail fast and iterate. That is the new mantra.
I love that. Such good advice. And actually, that's going to play in well, I think, for my next little lightning round. I'm trying something new. I want to learn a little bit more about you and have everyone out there learn just a little bit more about you. Have a little fun with this. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. You're going to answer quickly, and we're going to find out some really fun stuff about you. So Gayatri, what is your favorite movie?
Favorite movie? I love The Italian Job.
Oh, okay. Good one. And maybe you can use the quote you just used, or maybe not. What's your favorite quote or saying?
Oh, yeah. I love this quote. And I know we had spoken about this too in our early conversations. I've written this on my whiteboard in my home office. Everything is intentional.
Oh, that's so good. Everything is intentional. Okay. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Wow. Animal, huh? I would love to be a cheetah. Cheetah who's fast and quick, agile, and, you know, ready to roll. you know, take in the punches and still move on and still go towards its target.
I love it. A cheetah. Okay, very cool. And lastly, if you could visit any place in the world, where would it be?
One place, huh? I have a long list of places. Oh, wow. I know this is one of the places on my mind. Definitely want to go visit Madrid in Spain. That's definitely one of the places. We do enjoy soccer quite a bit in our family. So want to make a trip there sometime, hopefully next year, in the next couple of years.
Fabulous, fabulous. I actually, we were in Madrid a few years ago and I got a Real Madrid hat. So
nice.
I'm not even a huge football soccer fan. Although I love the U.S. women's team when they play, although they didn't play too well this year. But yes, I have a Real Madrid soccer hat, and you know, I look like a real fan. So Gayatri, this has just been so much fun, and thank you for playing along with the lightning round. That was fun to learn that you want to be a cheetah, you want to go to Madrid. You know, we had a lot of fun with that. So thanks for entertaining me. But most importantly, thank you for the wonderful, amazing insights and experiences that you've shared with us. I really greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining me on the show. I've loved the conversation.
Hey, JJ, I do love the lightning round and really enjoyed our conversation. So thank you so much for inviting me. It's been fun.
Well, again, thank you. And thank you all for joining us on Product Voices. Hope to see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Product Voices, hosted by JJ Rory. To find more information on our guests, resources discussed during the episode, or to submit a question for our Q&A episodes, visit the show's website, productvoices.com, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.